You have fears, you have doubts, you have insecurities. Of course, you're only human. We all have that stuff. But if those things are holding you back, you need to release them. You need to go back and find out what the problem is. Get in there and release them to eventually move on to where you want to go. We're going to tell you how to do that today with my guest, Shauna Ekedahl. She's going to drop some knowledge on us. This is your podcast for health and inspiration, Which Way Is Life? I'm your host, Bill Klaproth, and this is episode 67. And if you like what you hear today, please take 30 seconds and rate and review the podcast on iTunes. I would greatly appreciate it. My guest today is Shauna Ekedahl. Shauna is a holistic nutrition expert, author, and celebrity coach. She is a trailblazer in the area of mind, body, and spirit wellness. Shauna is the host of Be Well Live, a show dedicated to empowering people to live a authentically healthy life. Her guests include best-selling authors, celebrities, and holistically minded visionaries. And we're going to talk to her today about her holistic healing methods. Shauna, thank you for joining me. I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
They can become more self-aware.
Okay, is there an easy way that we can do that?
Yeah, so basically the kind of the root of my work is self-awareness, because if we can see the things that are hard to see about ourselves, we can basically not get ourselves in a bunch of problems or a bunch of positions that we don't want to get in. Oftentimes it's our unconscious things that we can't see about ourselves that get us in trouble, kind of. And this is with health, this is with in relationships and career and all areas of life. So kind of the seat of the work that I do is really seeing the things about ourselves that are hard to see, or that we don't want to see, or that we have not seen thus far.
Right. Most of us think we know ourselves, but in reality, we really don't.
It's true. We're pretty incredible. I mean, any one person is made up of so many different things, and we oftentimes don't see the possibilities of who we really are and what's possible in our life. And we tend to see ourselves as smaller than we actually are, or we think we're stuck in certain ways and we don't expand our creativity and our view to see that we can actually, you know, get out of certain situations that we feel stuck in, and that we are a lot more powerful, I think, than most people realize.
So is the key then asking other people in our lives basically what they think of us, to understand what their perceptions are of us? Because we don't know ourselves inside, but the outside world has a different view of us than we do. So getting in touch with that outside view can help us learn about ourselves.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, it's a tough question, because sometimes people view us in a limited way, right? So I know a lot of times people I work with have family members or people even closest to them that only, it's kind of like we get put in a box, right? Like, you're this type of person, or you can only do this in the world, or things like that. And it's not malicious or mean a lot of times. It's just, we are comforted by the way that we see people, right? We want to group or categorize people. Like, you're this type of person, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
Our mind just naturally does that. And so a lot of times the people that love us the most can put us in categories that limit us, right? So we say, you know, maybe my parents thought I wasn't smart in this subject, and so I grew up my whole life thinking, you know, I couldn't do English or I couldn't do math. And come to find out, we really can, right? If we are able to move beyond that belief system. And so, you know, having, you know, somebody that's a coach or a trusted advisor who's like a neutral third party, right, who maybe hasn't known you your whole life or hasn't, you know, doesn't have preconceived notions of who you are, can really help you see yourself better in a way that, you know, their life isn't affected by that, right? So sometimes people are afraid of other people in their life growing, because that's going to threaten maybe the relationship, or that's going to threaten someone's construct of who you are or what life is. And so oftentimes, you know, I say everybody has usually at like one or two positive people in their life that are great people to ask that question to. But some people, you know, not so much.
Right. If you ask your mom, you know what you're going to get. Honey, I love you. Everything is perfect. What are you talking? I love
yeah.
you. Right. Right. So that's a really important tip. So thank you for sharing that with us. Okay. Look, you've already dropped the knowledge on us. Go ahead and shut the podcast off. Shauna has already dropped the knowledge. Thank you. Mic drop, bam. We're not even into
it's
the
great
interview
being
yet.
Here.
All right, yeah, thank you, and good night, everybody. Good night. All right, Shauna, before we dig more into your story, can you let us in on your personal life a little bit? Who are you, and what brings you joy when you're not saving the world?
the work that I do, which is really helping people at a fundamental level. I certainly help people with nutrition and healing their body and opening up what's possible for their life. But really at the core of it is that I'm super passionate about people moving beyond their fears and limitations and lack in their life so that they can really be present to all that they are and share that powerfully with people. Because I believe we all have a purpose and a mission and a story that can touch the hearts of other people and that can impact their lives and help other people to then, you know, feel free to be themselves in the world. And so really at the foundation is that. And, you know, certainly if we don't feel well and our body's not healthy and we are, you know what I mean, not feeling good in our life, it's really hard to see more possibility for ourselves. And so, you know, I did not start out with a mission to do this in the world. It was really born of my own health and growth journey, which started, you know, years before I realized it started. So really when I was a small child, I started struggling with food around the age of 10, and it really was triggered by the divorce of my parents and the deep sadness that went along with that, that being old enough to know what was going on, but too young to be able to process all of that emotion. And chocolate chip cookies and macaroni and cheese became, you know, right, central images in my life. And once you, you know, for a lot of people and a lot of my clients that have struggled with weight at a younger age, it's really something that imprints your life. And it was very, you know, it was tough for me through my teenagers and my 20s. And even though I was not, I wouldn't say, you know, obese or heavily even overweight, it was no less agonizing to be somewhat overweight. And, you know, it's really what's going on in our mental mind about it, mm-hmm, and not so much about even what's going on in the physical. And
so you really found comfort in the food.
I did. And I didn't know that, right? We don't know that sometimes when we are eating because we're stressed or we're eating, you know what I mean, for certain reasons, we're not mm-hmm necessarily making that connection in our mind. And it just set this pattern. And I really subscribed to living the American dream, and, you know, I was going to be really successful and build a career. And I did that. And, you know, and we have this tendency to think like, okay, if I can make a certain amount of money, or if I can look a certain way, or if I can, you know, have a certain house, then I'll be happy, right? Or then I'll feel fulfilled. And really, you know, none of that is fulfilling or where happiness lies. And so I kind of went on a journey of realizing that for several years and building a business up. And then I was like, wait a second, this doesn't fulfill me. I mean, certainly it puts food on the table, but it wasn't, you know, I didn't feel connected to it like it was a passion point. And that became increasingly more important. And at a certain point, I got really sick physically. I was just stressed, you know, and not sleeping well, and ultimately ended up getting skin cancer on my face.
Oh my.
And that was really kind of the breaking point. And at that point, I said, you know, I'm not listening. I'm living a life that is not true to who I am. And obviously, you know, at a very young age, I was in my young 30s. I'm ending up, you know, with a major illness. And the doctors kept saying to me, oh, you're so young. And so I really set out on a journey of healing my body, which then, of course, as you well know, goes into healing your mind and healing your heart and healing all the things that impede health. And so at the end of healing my own self, I had compiled so much information, and I had done so many things that didn't work. And I really felt passionate about telling people like a faster way to go about it than the 7 years that it took me. And so that's really the birth of how I help people. And what I do is that wanting to make it easier for other people.
Right. So you want to share what you learned in that helping people move beyond their fears and limitations, what you experienced. You're trying to help people so they don't make those same mistakes you made, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I quickly want to mention, before we go any further, Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. So you were going, you had this end result in mind where you thought was going to bring you happiness and money, and it turned out to stress you out and almost ruin your life. So how did you finally come to grips with that? Because of your illness, because you were sick, because of the cancer, you finally said, wait a minute, what I thought was going to make me happy is doing the opposite. It's making me sick.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I was getting more, you know, I was getting towards that middle ground of life. And you start realizing at that point, like, I'm not going to be here forever, right? How do I want to do this thing called life? And you start, I think, having more appreciation for the gift that it is and that it doesn't last forever. And, you know, and so I was really wanting to share what I had learned. I realized that I had learned so much information. And so I started formalizing my education and really diving deep into that aspect. But honestly, a lot of the intuitiveness I have about health was developed from my own journey and the ways, you know, I say the biggest ways I feel like I help people is really something, you know, born inside of me and something that is pretty unique. And so, you know, a lot of people, if in the world of health and weight loss and meal plans and all these things, if it was as easy as giving someone a meal plan and saying, here's how to, you know, heal your body and eat healthier, and if that worked, then that would be easy, right? I mean, we really wouldn't have health problems if it was as simple, but we all know that it's not simple to follow that for people, right? And that there, and that is really the crux of where I said, wait a second, we're not looking at this the right way, because it's not just educating people on what's healthy and what's not, because most people know. Right? If you said what's healthier foods and what's not healthier foods, people are going to be able to answer that, you know, but why don't we eat that we know will heal our body? That to me is the bigger question. And that question kind of led me down the road of why do we do what we do in life? Like, why do we make choices? You know, if we know we want to have a certain career or we know we want to have a certain relationship, why do we make choices that aren't in alignment with that? You know, what is it that makes us do that? And so really, you know, a lot of my work is too. So some people come to me and they have been, you know, on programs or things like that. And they're like, why, like, what's wrong with me? You know, why don't I follow this? You know, why do I feel like I fail or like I give up? And that's where I come in. And that's where I can really shine the light for people to have them see why they don't.
And that's getting to the root, getting to the root cause, right? So you're not trimming the leaves. You got to start at the root to ultimately create lasting change. So tell me about your unique method for getting to the cause of people's problems.
So it really starts with, I mean, I take people back through their whole life. Like, so we go through a process of, you know, really getting to know somebody from and their life experience, because most of the times, a lot of the things we struggle with began between the ages of 0 and 7, decisions we made about ourselves, belief systems that we either developed ourselves or that were kind of given to us by our family systems. You know, things like, you know, some people will say, well, you know, everybody in my family is overweight when they're adults, right? That's a belief system, right? Like if I'm in this family, I look around me, I see that everybody is overweight. So therefore when I hit a certain age, I'm going to be as well. So we have all kinds of belief systems running, what I call running in the background, meaning we're not really conscious of them. We don't consciously go, oh yeah, that's my belief system. We just have it as fact or truth or reality. This is just the way that it is, you know? Like some people will say to you, we're really good at selling people on the way that it is, right? I'm just broke. That's just the way it is, right? Or I'm not healthy. That's just the way it is. And those are just, you know, negative belief systems that we don't even know are there. And so I really help people go through their system and see their belief systems, because something interesting happens when you are able to identify core belief systems and see them. They no longer have the control over you that they have when you can't see them. And where the intuitive part comes in is that I'm able to see, like, when someone's talking to me and they're sharing their life with me, let's say they're having a problem current day with health, right? Some health issue. I can see where there's belief systems in their young life that are connected to that, meaning this is where it began and this is how it's manifesting today. And so basically, since, I mean, we're all energy at a fundamental level before we're cells and molecules. And so at an energetic level, you can disconnect that belief system. And that's where it changes present day reality, what you're experiencing today, whether it be health, you know, money, career, it doesn't really matter. It all kind of starts back when we're very young. And so, so I've had a lot of people be able to, you know, as a result of doing this, they will follow the meal plan then. They will eat healthy easily, right, without any resistance to that. They will manifest things that maybe they've struggled manifesting their whole lives because that core, you know, belief system and thought pattern is now no longer at play.
So are there things we can do on our own to release our fears, our doubts, our insecurities, our things that we're struggling with?
Well, I always say the first step is to become conscious of them. So the thing that's interesting about that is that staying unconscious about the things we don't want to see is easier, right? It's less painful. Like we don't see it, so we don't have to deal with it. So a lot of times when we start to become conscious of those things that stand in our way, it feels icky, right? We are now present to what is holding us back. And that, you know, it can feel uncomfortable at the beginning, like, oh, I don't like this. I don't want this to be at play in my life. And yet we have to see it and be annoyed by it to shift it, right? Because if we're not annoyed by it, we're not seeing it, nothing's happening with it, right?
So how do we see it? How do we see it?
And yep, you can start by writing down. So I always have people go in like 10-year segments. So most people don't remember being zero, but you from your first memory to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30. And this has people, it's interesting because we forget a lot of things that happened in our life. So I say to people, you know, tell me the first things that pop into your mind that are your happiest, best memories from 0 to 10, or your most sad, tragic, you know, terrible memories from 0 to 10, the things that put the biggest impressions on you, right, for both good and bad, and write those down. And it gets people thinking, right? It gets people jogging their mind and going back and looking at, because most of the time, we think the things that happened in the past, we don't want to go back there. We don't think they matter. What's there to do about them now, right? They've already happened. And so by doing this and understanding that there is a connection to present day, we start to realize things. And what's fascinating about it is when I'm sitting with someone and they're doing this, they will leave the session, you know, and they're going to come back next week, and they'll come back remembering so much more than that initial session. It's like once the mind starts seeing into that, stuff starts awakening within us, and we start going, oh yeah, I remember this, and oh yeah, I remember that. And this is that piece of awareness, right? Of awakening that self-awareness.
That's a really good strategy. I love how you laid that out. And I'm telling you now, if we all did that and went back, we would find something back there. And as you say, the memories would probably start rushing back in. Most people haven't had a serious traumatic event in their life, but if you go back, I bet you there's a time when maybe your mom and dad yelled at you, you were made fun of as a kid, or something happened in a classroom, or a friend of yours said something to you. If you go back, I bet you it's there. Am I right on that?
You're 100% right, and I want to say something about that, because as an adult mind, we have a certain idea of what's traumatic, but for a child, exactly the examples you gave, like some one sentence that a child says to a 7-year-old on a playground can be just as traumatic as abusive, right? We can't judge our own what's traumatic for us, right, with our adult mind and say, oh, that wasn't a big deal, right? Or, oh, Sally had it worse because her dad did this or her mom did that. Like, we're always trying to downplay, right, certain things that happen to us, but the child mind, that is traumatic, right? Something that seems not a big deal as an adult is traumatic for a child. So the idea is to go back and not judge it, right? Not downplay it or not judge it. Just say, if you remember it right off the bat as a poignant thing in your mind, then it impacted you, right? I mean, it's something you remember. Mm-hmm. So it's a great point that you bring up.
Yeah, if you remember it, it's in there. And like you say, it could be manifesting itself in some ways today. So that's what you're saying.
Exactly.
So that's why I feel insecure, or I have anxiety, or I don't have self-confidence, or I have issues with the way I look. You go back, it could be something that happened when you were 8 years old.
It's a roadmap. It's like we are this like massive cosmic roadmap. And
I love it.
When you can experience it from a place of energy like I do, it's like there's all these ties, right, between the past and what's happening now and what's happening, you know, in different stages of your life. And so it is absolutely like a scavenger hunt or going on a treasure hunt to go back and disconnect these things so your present day is more of what you want and not just a reaction from the past.
Right. By the way, Cosmic Roadmap, that was the name of my first band.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That would be a great name of a band.
That would be a great name. Write that one down. Write that one down. Yeah, that's going to be the name of your band, Shauna. That's your band, Cosmic Roadmap. Bam.
Someone should take that.
Oh, boy. So once we go back, we go, boy, this happened to me, and I can see it manifesting itself in ways 20 years later. I know there's a lot more to it than this, but how do we then, okay, like you said, you got to have a realization. I realized something happened back then. Are there steps we can take to fix it?
The best thing you can do is get yourself to someone that can help you, you know, process that. I mean, you can get so far, like within yourself, but again, you're going to run up against, like, we can't ever really fully see ourselves. Like, and this is a beautiful thing, I think, because it makes us need to connect with other people. Like, we're not meant to be alone on an island, right? Figuring it all out on our own. We are meant to see reflections of ourselves and other people. We're meant to have people help us see ourselves deeper. And when things start coming up for you, or you start having, you know, these big realizations or awarenesses, great to have somebody to kind of hold your hand through how to move through that powerfully.
You know, we're meant to be social integration. You're so right. Nobody wants to be alone. We need that interaction with people. Life is so much better when you share it with people, right?
Absolutely.
And when it comes to getting help, you need to lean on people to get that help. People are there to help.
Yeah, when you're going through any, you know, healing or upgrading your life or shifting something that hasn't worked for you in the past, you absolutely, I believe, need someone to hold your hand through that process who's already been through that process, who's, you know, maybe a few steps ahead of you or several steps ahead of you in their own, you know, evolution and growth and knowledge and things like that. It's like, that's where we're all, you know, we're all helping each other to that next level of self-actualization. And to try to do it yourself, you get caught, you get stuck. And and there's no reason, you know, I'm a big proponent of people not getting stuck in it, because we can get stuck in our stuff for sure. Like, people will, you know, get in a circular motion with negative thought patterns or things that they're stuck in. And the more you do that, the more it feels like it's impossible to get out of it. So I always recommend getting yourself to a knowledgeable, you know, practitioner that can help you not get stuck in, you know, for years on end or months on end when you don't need to be.
Absolutely. So asking for help from an expert or a friend or someone that's got your best interest in mind is always worthwhile. So that's a great tip. So on my podcast, we talk a lot about health, mental health, which we're kind of talking about now, but also physical health. And I know that you have a lot of knowledge on food and nutrition. How does that play in our problems?
Well, it's interesting you bring up mental health too, because it's really difficult when we are, you know, the standard American diet, like what, you know, the typical, what we would eat if we didn't know anything else and we just went out there and, you know, did our fast food restaurants and our regular restaurants and all this stuff, the way that our society is eating today is a recipe for illness. It's for so many reasons, one being that we are not getting the vitamins, minerals, and phytonutrients in the foods that most people are eating. So those are the building blocks of the body. And when we're not getting them year after year after year, the body doesn't have what it needs to function. It's like you're a factory, right? And you're not oiling all the conveyor belts and you're not fixing anything. Eventually that factory is going to stop operating properly. And that's the same with the physical body. Then on top of that, we've got toxicity, you know, in the air we breathe and the water we drink and so many of the ways we manufacture food. And these are extremely toxic to the body. We have never lived in a time where there is so much toxicity. It's an assault, really, on our body, and it's happening in every direction. And so that, on top of not having all of your vitamins, minerals, and phytonutrients, is just a recipe for illness and for kind of disaster in the body. And so I say to people all the time, you know, we are not educating people young enough and aggressively enough on how to really take care and preserve their health. And we are living in a time where you need to learn that information, or you are will manifest an illness at some point, you know, just going about the way, you know, we really don't have a society that is promoting or supporting health all over the place. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of profit in things that are not healthy. Certainly they taste good, you know, and people love that. But it's a time where we have to take our health into our own hands a little bit and get ourselves educated on that. And so I'm a big proponent of people kind of taking back their health. And there's really fundamental things that our body needs to stay healthy. So some people say, oh, you know, in my family, there's diabetes, or in my family, there's cancer, or in my family, there's, you know, digestive issues. And I say to them, if you are covering these foundational things, then you shouldn't, you should really be able to not manifest any disease, right? All disease states start from certain breakdowns in the body, right? Whether you manifest cancer or diabetes or something else, they're all kind of the same, right? Disease states are the same. It's a body that's acidic. It's a body that doesn't have the proper nutrients it needs to stay healthy. It's a body that's toxic. It's a body that maybe doesn't get enough sleep, has too much stress. These are all things that just break down our health, and we can learn to support our health and live, you know, healthy, happier lives. I mean, we have figured out this lifespan thing where we're now living to be much older than we used to live. So to me, it's really quality. How are we going to, what's the quality of our longer years going to be? Because if we don't learn to take care of our health, from usually for a lot of people from the 40s, 50s on, the quality is not there. They may have the quantity, but they're not having the quality.
So how do we, and this is your phrase, how do we heal with high frequency foods?
Yeah, so this gets into the conversation of energy, which is a huge conversation I love to have, because it's getting to the root cause, the ultimate root cause, you know, root level of talking mm-hmm. about the body or health. Because really, you know, a lot of discussions about food and health happen at the level of cells and molecules and what's going on, you know, with our physical structure. But before that, we are energy, right? That the desk in front of me is energy. I'm energy. You're energy. I mean, everything in the world is energy, always in motion, right? We just don't, we don't see it that way with our physical eye. But it has been proven by things like quantum physics, or that the disease states start in our energy system, right? So even our emotions are energy, our thoughts are energy. These are all, you know, you hear people say, like, what you think you put out into the world, right? It is. It's energy going out into the world. And so when we want to heal our body, if we can think about it in healing our energy, right, expanding our energy, high-frequency foods are foods like, you know, vegetables and fruits and herbs, they have an energetic frequency to them. They are alive. If I go and pick an apple off of an apple tree, that apple has an energy to it, not just in the form of a calorie, but in the form of an energetic frequency. And when I put that energy into my body, that's going to expand the energy system of my physical body. So, you know, people will tell you eat more fresh vegetables and fruits and things like that. And it's more, it's at a deeper level. It's at an energetic level. It's like that stuff was put on earth to feed our bodies, right? Our bodies were built to take in those nutrients, and they're perfectly proportioned, you know, with vitamins and minerals and the things that we need and the phytonutrients. And so in this day and age, as we know, most people are not eating those foods. Most people are eating, you know, processed man-made foods that don't grow on the earth. And so for anybody, I just say, you know, eat close to the earth. Eat the things that naturally grow on our planet that were growing, you know, 50 years ago, and your body will start to change and your body will start to heal. So we want to bring in more good energy into our lives in all states, right? If we're having negative thoughts, not great, right? If we're having a bunch of negative emotions that aren't being processed out properly, that's going to cause our body stress. So high frequency, just looking across the board at what's going to bring greater energy into our system.
I love how you put that. Eat close to the earth. And as you were describing that, it made perfect sense. Vegetables, fruits, herbs, they all have an energy. Things you buy in a box, no energy.
Right. Dead.
So dead. Dead. So think about that as you're eating that. So next time I bite into an apple, I'm going to think about energy. So that's just a great analogy and a really cool way to look at it and visualize what you're talking about. So cool. So a quick, very quick question here on stress, since you mentioned stress and our stressful world we live in today. Do you have any tips on how we can take the stress level down?
Oh, this is a fascinating topic because, yeah, stress is the number one precursor to disease. I mean, really, that can cause a disease state in the body alone in and of itself. And stress is fascinating because it's how we relate to things, right? This puts us more in the driver's seat because we think certain things just have to be really stressful and they just are. But truly, you could take two different people and give them the same job, and one person could be really stressed out at that job, and the other person can be like, this job's fine, right? So we realizing that how we choose to relate to something, like maybe you know someone in your life, I mean, most everybody knows somebody who is just stressed out about everything, right? It's just hard to be around them sometimes because they're just so high strung and they're like, oh my God, you know, anything that happens, it's just the stress level goes to 10 in a second. And that person is relating to the world in that way, right? And certainly certain types of jobs and certain things we deal with are going to be stressful, right? Those are more stressful situations than sitting on a beach, right? And relaxing. Mm-hmm. But we also need to say, okay, how am I, what am I bringing to this situation? How am I relating to this? And sometimes we need to take ourselves out of certain situations. If it's too stressful and we can't have a different perspective on it, then yes, it's not going to be great to sit with that. But for most people, if they look around their life, they can say, gosh, because, you know, what we worry about 99% of the time doesn't happen, right? So we stress ourselves out over things that aren't even really occurring. So a great way to, like, bring your stress level down is start looking over your life and saying, okay, where am I, like, really stressing myself out over something that doesn't even end up manifesting, right? Or people that I can't change, right? So a lot of times we stress out over situations or people that we're trying to, we want them to be different and we want them to change, and we just have to kind of allow and accept that that's not going to happen. I mean, we really know people don't change by telling them to change, right? Really what we can do and be responsible for is changing within ourselves. Because if I'm different in a relationship with you, the relationship will shift from that, right? The relationship can't be the same if I'm not the same person in the relationship. And so all these things kind of put us back in the driver's seat where we feel like we're not the victim of the stuff that's going on around us.
So if I stress out easily or am that type of person that I'm worried about everything, or like you said, I'm creating all of these bad things in my mind, is this another case where you go back to the childhood and you go, you know, my mom was a worrier and my mom was overprotective, and when something happened in my family, it was a big crisis when, like you say, other families may think of it, it's not a big deal. Like you had the analogy of the worker. One person thinks it's a stressful job. The other person is like, yeah, this job's fine. So if you go back again, like you were talking about earlier, to your childhood and go, geez, you know, my mom was always stressed out. Everything was a big deal. Geez, maybe that's the way I am today. Maybe that's why I'm so stressed out, is because of that. Is that a right way to look at it?
Absolutely, because these behaviors are learned. Like you said, like in family systems, that I see that a lot, or from an event that happened, right? Like maybe somebody experienced abandonment. And so when abandonment shows up, or that the thought that they're going to be abandoned in relationship or in a career or in any way, that just sends them over the edge of stress. So absolutely, it relates back to childhood, whether it's just the environment that you were in, watching that and emulating that, or whether it was something that actually happened that caused that within you, even if it's not in your familial environment.
Right. And as you say, 99% of the things you conjure up in your mind, that bad thing that's going to happen, never happens. And or if it does happen, it doesn't happen in the way you thought it was going to happen. So you're creating all this stress, which then, as you were saying earlier, manifests itself in potentially bad things happening, disease and illness.
Yeah, and what's interesting, like since you talk about mental health in the nutrition aspect, is that I've had clients come to see me and they've got, you know, they say I'm mildly depressed or I'm mildly anxious or things like that. And I say, well, let's just hold on and let's flood your body with tons of nutrients that it probably hasn't been getting. And let's turn your diet around and let's see where you're at. And many times people have a real shift mentally, right? Because think about it, if your body's not getting the nutrients it needs, then neither is your brain. And oftentimes people don't know how to eat for their brain, right? And so our brains could be going most of our life, if not decades, without what it needs. And that's going to cause shifts in the patterning of the brain. And so we want to think holistically. When we start giving the body what it needs and the brain what it needs, we can transform a lot of stuff. And it transforms relatively quickly. I mean, people have big shifts within a few weeks to a month.
Such a good point about food. If you're eating sugary crap all the time, that's not good for you. Imagine how up and down your emotions are with all the crap you're eating. But if you get real good nutrients in there, the body is amazing. You may just kind of stabilize and even yourself out. That's kind of what you're saying.
Exactly.
Wow, very cool. Well, coming up, we get the high five from Shauna, but if I could ask a quick favor, after the interview, jump over to iTunes, and if you would please, search out my podcast, Which Way Is Life? You'll find me there. It'll pop right up. Click on the ratings and review tab. Give me a rating. Hopefully it's a 5-star. Give me a review. By that way, we gain a higher ranking in iTunes, and it gives us a chance to help more people, and that's what this podcast is all about. The high five with Shauna Ekedahl is next. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way Is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way Is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way Is Life for your free audio book. Time for the high five with my guest today, Shauna Ekedahl. Shauna, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Question number one. So what made you want to become a holistic life coach?
Just my own, you know, my own personal journey and wanting to help people, make it easier for people to heal and, you know, stand in their power and love their lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Question number two. I have this theory that most high-powered individuals like yourself start their day in a specific way. Let me ask you this. How do you start your day?
I start my day with a little bit of meditation. I really find, and in that meditation, I do a lot of gratitude. So I have found that being grateful for everything that I have and grateful for, I mean, down to, I love my bed. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the roof over my head. I mean, the littlest things are really, I am truly deeply grateful for those. And when I'm rooted in that, the rest of the stuff that might seem irritating is not so irritating in life, or that might seem difficult. And so I do that first thing in the morning before I do anything else.
And that's a great way to cut that self-created stress in the mind too, is to become mindful and grateful and stop the chattering mind for a little bit.
Exactly.
And question number three, if you could, we were just talking about nutrition. So how about this? If you could share a nutritious, mindful meal filled with high-frequency foods with anyone in the world, who would it be and why?
Ah, that's such a good question. Somebody that's alive? Can it be somebody that's not here
Absolutely.
Anymore?
Absolutely. Yes. With us or not with us. Absolutely. Go back in time. Who would you want to share a meal with?
I'm a huge fan of Rumi, and so, yeah. I have so many questions, but that's one of my, I love all of the quotes. I love all of the wisdom, and yeah, that's who it would be.
All right. That's cool. All right. Question number four. Speaking of quotes, do you have a favorite quote you can share with us?
I do. It is of course a Rumi quote. It's "Stop acting so small. You are the universe in ecstatic motion."
Wow. That's short, but powerful.
Yeah.
And we're going to put that quote up on the show notes page at RadioMD.com so you can get that again. What were you going to say, Shauna?
Oh, I love it because it's a reminder, right? We need to all stop acting so small because we are bigger than we know.
And we can all have such a positive impact on each other.
Absolutely.
Getting back to that social interaction again. And once again, we're going to put that up on the show notes page at RadioMD.com. All right, last question. Question number five. Finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
I've learned to be gracious and be grateful and to be open to possibility and to flow instead of resisting my way through life or pushing up against things or making things more difficult, that if we trust the flow of the universe and the flow of life, and if we trust that we're always being supported, then we don't get stuck, right? We just, it's like being a tree that bends in the wind and never breaks.
I love that. You just created your own quote, which could go down for the ages. I love that. Be open to possibility and trust the flow of life.
Yes.
That's going up on Facebook right now.
All right.
I want you to go to your Facebook. I want you to put that on Facebook right now. No.
I love it.
Well, Shauna, thank you so much for being with me. How can we connect with you?
You can find me at shaunaekedal.com. It's shaunaekedal.com.
And we're also going to put links to all of your social media on the show notes page at radiomd.com. Make sure you check out Shauna's website. It's fantastic. She's got a great video series, too. You're going to love it, so check that out. And Shauna, thank you so much for your time again. And before we leave, I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite quotes, which is, remember to enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Shauna, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you.
So cool, so much fun talking with Shauna, and thank you for listening. I appreciate it greatly. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. You can subscribe on iTunes or my show page at radiomd.com. And once again, I know I'm going to sound like a broken record here. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. That way I get a bigger audience and I can help more people. And that's what we're trying to do here. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcasts. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter and Facebook. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com. For all of my episodes, thanks for listening and stay well.